November 7th, 1999.
This is your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris. This is
Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We just came back from hours and hours of so-called affordable housing babble yesterday at the Loudoun Nelson Center. And the day before that, we hit the streets telling merchants, how about civil rights for homeless people? How about posting a little sticker in your store that says, let homeless people sleep at night? We'll let you know what's been happening with that and much more on this next 2.5 hours Civil Rights for the Poor show. And the fire burns on, hopefully with a little fuel from everybody out there. Phone number to call in if you want to give me a hot foot is 427-3772, or just heat up the discussion generally, 427-3772. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz's studio line at 96.3 FM. We are a 24-hour free radio station. We don't sell things. We just broadcast ideas, opinions, and information you're not likely to get elsewhere. We are a Santa Cruz community station, a collective generally open to anyone. If you're interested in free radio, give a call to our voicemail at 427-4523 if you'd like a show. And if you have subject matter that isn't already being covered, or you're covering subject matter in a more novel way, hey, that could be something that the community needs to hear and that we'd like to support. Give a call again to the voicemail if you want more information about Free Radio Santa Cruz or want to help with our station generally, either behind the scenes or in front of the mic. 427-4523 is the voicemail. And again, the studio number, if you want to be on the air, 427-3772. I do a twice weekly show. This is the Sunday show. The other one is on Thursday from 6 to 8. Today's show will go until 1:30. And I talk about things that happen on the streets, civil rights of poor people generally, but rights that affect all of us, because when they're taken away from poor people, the next step can be to take them away from those who aren't so poor. So listen in, think about what you're hearing, and call in. You may disagree with what you hear. If you do, I want to hear from you, because could be I'm wrong. So let me know. And it's, of course, it hasn't happened yet, but you know, if I'm wrong, I need to hear from you to get the record straight. Get the record corrected. After all, I am going out to, we potentially reach an audience here in Santa Cruz of thousands. This is a micro power station, so-called pirate station, a free station. We don't have a license. All we have is determination to get information out over the airwaves with our 40-odd watts. So help us contribute to this struggle to get some real information out past the corporate blather and the screen that really prevents a lot of real truth from coming out to the Santa Cruz community and the American public. Speaking of which, I'm about to play you a discussion in the halls of the courtroom area, which is down at 701 Ocean Street, for those of you who haven't had the great fortune of going down there, either as a defendant or a friend of a defendant or for some other reason, maybe even just to pay a small ticket. About 3 weeks ago, Jerry Henry, a street minister from Aptos, who has been at the Aptos Shopping Center advising young people about their rights for the last couple of years and become persona non grata there with several businesses, including Gottschalk's, the Rancho Liquors, and the coffee roasting company out there, because of his strong advocacy for young people saying, look, you don't have to leave just because a first alarm security guard tells you to. You don't have to submit to an illegal search because a deputy sheriff with a badge and a gun takes an intimidating posture. You have certain basic rights. Because of his advocacy for these people, he has been targeted. And today we're going to have an interview with Richard Quigley, because you're going to hear some shocking, shocking information on this tape, which I recorded, as I say, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And the gist of it is that a man was arrested, Jerry Henry, and taken to jail for crimes, total penalties of which could not be more than $2,000 or $3,000 and a year in jail. And we're talking about nonviolent crimes, if the crimes are, in fact, as they're claimed, they're actually concocted charges, because merchants want to get rid of this guy. They want him out of here or out of there. And the charges are things like interfering with a business, where the idea that a man standing on the sidewalk distributing a petition constitutes interference with a business, of course, violates the First Amendment. But it's not an unusual kind of arrest in the history of American society or societies of the world, where established authorities want to stop people from distributing literature that threatens the myths spread by the powerful, that reveals the truth to people. It interferes with business in the sense that it encourages people not to do business with bigotry. And that's what Jerry Henry was doing. And he was arrested and held on not $1,000 bail, not $5,000 bail, not $10,000 bail, not $25,000 bail, not $50,000 bail, but $100,000 bail. He was held all weekend on $100,000 bail. And then, as if to make the whole thing a bigger joke, he was released without any bail whatsoever. But you're going to hear all about that on this tape, and you're going to hear the latest, which is that he has been rearrested on $100,000 bail. Is this for rape? Is this for molesting children? Is this for planting a bomb? Terrorism? No, it's again because they're accusing him of interfering with a business. Those businesses seem to have a long reach, and they seem to have strong connections with the district attorney's office and with the sheriff's department. Let's hear Attorney Kate Wells and others talking about this case as it transpired about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We don't have any new news other than the fact that Jerry Henry today is behind bars and will probably remain there until Tuesday on $100,000 bail, again, for the crime of interfering with a business. And they've also stacked a few others on, like disturbing the peace, like public nuisance, like trespass. Although no one has alleged that he has been anywhere near the businesses involved, he's been given a stay-away order from the entire Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, with the exception of the Safeway, which he is allowed to walk into, buy groceries in, and leave. And he has, according to my last conversation with him, been fastidiously, carefully following that court order so as not to get nabbed again. But apparently they found a way to get him. He's in jail. Let's hear what happened the last time he was in jail. Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Of course, that will involve putting on the right tape, which is always a trial for me. I apologize for the delay here. We do have him. Here he is. Jerry Henry, in mid-October, the discussion of his case in the corridors of the courts.
In the corridors of the halls of justice, where the only justice is in the halls, talking to Attorney Kate Wells. It's October, what, 19th, or is it the 20th? I'm not sure.
It's the 19th.
It is the 19th. And we're outside the courtroom of Heather Mockingbird Morse, as I call her. This is the judge that refused to hear a writ of habeas corpus yesterday and has put it on the end of the agenda for a man on $100,000 bail. Is this crime murder? Is this crime rape? No, a business person looked outside a store, didn't like the way he looked sitting on a car. Okay, so what's this all about, Kate Wells?
Well, this is all about the Sheriff's Department acting as a private security force for the merchants of the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. Basically, it's a few hysterical people who don't like how Jerry looks and thinks, I guess it's a, what you might call a beautification program for the, for the Rancho
Del Mar. He does have a long beard, and he's very thin.
Yes, he is, and yes.
And, maybe he's not wearing a proper clothing for a fashion statement for
the
outside Gottschalks, I understand.
That's it. And I guess some the story goes that they suddenly, after, when they saw him out there, they suddenly had to do the window decorating right next to where Jerry was.
To distract from his appearance, perhaps.
Yeah, and evidently one of the clerks was afraid to even stand in the window and do the window decorating with Jerry outside
of the
store.
Afraid you might be taking a picture would have been taken with her and Jerry in the same frame,
well,
a non-photogenic.
It's entirely possible. And then, so this is the second
Jerry
arrest.
Threatened any of these people?
No.
Was he carrying a weapon?
His tape recorder.
Was he standing in a menacing posture?
No. Jerry.
Was he screaming at the top of his lungs?
No.
Was he softly muttering sibilant abuse?
No.
Was he passing nasty notes to Gotcha?
He was sitting there peacefully talking to somebody
else.
Was
he sending in his agents to disrupt and steal from the store?
Jerry having agents, that's pretty interesting.
There's a number of youth for the last 2 days who have been picketing the store as a consequence of Jerry's arrest.
Yes, these are the reason for Jerry's being in trouble, to a great degree, because he has been their advocate and their protector and their advisor, and both in a spiritual sense and a legal sense, protecting them from the harassment, the constant and harassment of the sheriff's department down there, trying to rid them rid the shopping center of these young people.
Well, I understand from activist Richard Quigley, and indeed from Jerry Henry, who I talked to several weeks ago before he was given his new accommodations at $100,000 bail inside the city jail or the county jail, that there had actually been a cessation of harassment against the young people out there the last few months. Is that true?
That was true, and in fact it was kind of a hands-off policy appearing to happen even with Jerry Henry, and I'm not sure. You probably have to talk to Jerry himself to find out what I think there were some new first alarm security folk who came on board and started the confrontations again on behalf of the merchants, and so even though the good officer Cheryl Peterson, who is an island in a sea of
slime.
Yeah, I mean she's just wonderful. Would that all of the police of the sheriff's department deputies be like Cheryl? Cheryl confronted some of these people and told them to back away and that, leave Jerry
alone.
She's
still on the sheriff's substation out there?
She still is, but they made sure that they did all of these terrible things to Jerry while she was not not on duty, because this never would have happened.
Have you talked to her about these actions? I understand what happened was last week on Monday he was arrested again on the charge of
602.1.
Which is trespass to interfere with a business.
Interfering with a business.
With a business. He was held on Columbus Day on $2,500 bail. His mother immediately posted the cash. He was released, and again, of course, he's been charged with these things before. They've gone to the day of trial, and they've dropped all the charges. He's never been convicted of anything that I'm aware of.
That's correct.
And so, again, on Friday, they arrested him yet again, apparently for criminal sitting on his car. I'm not sure when that became a crime, but apparently it is a crime in the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. His time he was given, and I was blanched to hear it, $25,000 bail when his mother showed up with the bail bondsman. Suddenly it swooped upward like a hawk to $100,000. What do you make of this, Kate?
I am speechless. I mean, and I am never speechless. This is the most blatant. I mean, I'll tell you what I said when I went in to talk to Jerry Henry this morning. I said, just sit tight, Jerry, and dream a dollar sign.
So you're going to take this case?
I'm going to take this case. I'm going to file a federal civil rights violation. This is the most outrageous pattern of harassment I have ever seen for a man who is completely nonviolent, spiritual. I mean, this man knows the Bible backwards and forwards. He is, and he has I said this so many times, they should be pinning a medal on him for all of the good things he's done, getting these kids off of heroin and that sort of thing. I've had parents come up to me unsolicited saying, you're Jerry Henry's attorney, thank you for helping him because of all the good things he's done.
Well, there were about 10 of them out there, I guess, 2 days ago, and I went out there with signs, you know, boycott Gottschalk's Nazis. And I actually went into Gottschalk's to have a word with, or at least have it look at Claudia Easterby.
Easterby,
apparently the woman who has been offended by Jerry Henry.
That's correct.
And I asked her if she had any bathrobes for sale, because I'm always in the market for bathrobes. She looked me over up and down with a somewhat jaundiced eye and said, we do not sell bathrobes. I said, at least at this store. And I found out that was true. I asked other personnel. And then as, of course, she drove past, she took pictures of all of us with her little camera as we stood outside talking. Apparently, she likes the way I look. I appreciate that. I always think I kind of find it figure out there.
Sake, right.
But as I understand, this judge, Heather Mockery Morse, who you and I actually have both had past dealings with.
Yes.
I was jailed for 2 days
for wearing. She actually was the judge involved in 6 of the misdemeanor charges that were dropped on the day of trial for Jerry Henry.
So she's familiar with this pattern.
She is. She should be extremely familiar with that.
Who issued this $100,000 bail?
Jantz. Judge Jantz. But we don't know exactly who it is that made the affidavit in favor of upping the bail.
But you will find out.
But we will find out, because there has to be some evidence of why. It's got to either
made all his court dates?
It's got to be, oh yeah, he's never missed a court date in his life. He's never had a failure to appear. He's never had a, you know, never had a violent,
but
never
he
had
a beard.
Never had an offense that would involve any kind of violence. I mean, you know, it's absolutely insane.
So Richard Quigley, his friend, filed a writ of habeas corpus, I guess it was 2 days ago, or actually wrote it 2 days ago and filed it yesterday. But Judge Heather Morse saw fit to allow this man to continue to languish in jail under $100,000 bail.
Overnight.
And he is still in custody in there. I see him in his little orange.
We should mention that Mr. Henry is also a disabled person. He is psychologically injured. And all of the people involved in this have been put on notice of his psychological injury.
Now, this injury is not of a sort that makes him violent or abusive?
Oh, no.
What sort is his psychological injury?
Well, basically, Jerry is a deeply spiritual person. He was, in fact, the quality control person for Beechnut Baby Foods. And when it became evident to him that there were more parts of flies and other insects and terrible things that were getting past quality control.
That's a high-protein diet, as I believe.
Yeah. He reported this and was rewarded by being fired by Beechnut. He took this to trial on a psychological injury, and the judge was he actually was awarded damages for psychological injury.
Had there a word that described this kind of injury?
Psychological injury, if that's what the judge called it. He said it was the first time that he'd ever seen anything like this.
So what it means is, for example, when Jerry is harassed by police, he's unable to sleep for nights afterward?
Nights and days and can't eat and basically goes into what we call a spin, where he's hard to communicate with, he can't communicate with others, he's functionally illiterate as far as his writing skills and that sort of thing. An infinitely wise and intelligent man might compare it to, you know, maybe an autistic type situation where they can, you know, he's a genius in some areas, and it's like I think they call it a Swiss cheese brain, you know. There's little holes.
He's also quite it seems to me quite normal and in the average everyday sense. When you talk to Jerry, you know, he's not, he doesn't swear at you. He understands what you're saying. He responds. He'll swap stories with you. I mean, there's nothing.
He's been a wonderful friend to me. He's been a wonderful friend to me, and that's aside from any of the other things. You know, I just.
Well, here is Heather Morse at, what is it, $125,000 a year, sitting on her little bench in her little black
Maybe
outfit.
Maybe she could bail him out.
She's an attorney. She certainly should know about that kind of behavior.
I've got a client showing up at my house right now.
Okay, well, listen, thank you, Kate Wells.
I've got to tell him.
Keep us advised.
Okay. I've got to tell
him. So we're talking to Richard Quigley outside of the court. It's about 10:35, and Richard, you've been denied standing in this habeas corpus hearing. Heather Morse agreed with arguments by Maragonda, and who was the other bald-headed fellow?
No, that's I don't know about Maragonda, this jerk from the county council's office. They do this to provoke litigation. Samuel Torres.
And, of course, you know, you applied for a writ to reduce this excessive bail, and he claimed that there was some other avenue, and the writ wasn't properly filed.
Yeah, free Jerry Henry, and there was no other avenue, and remains no other avenue now.
Yeah. Have you filed a writ of habeas corpus before?
Yeah, in this court, three of them.
And have you ever been told this particular objection?
It's an absurd finding. There's no such, there, anybody, I don't care who you are, if you are an ex-friend to the person that is in jail, the person that's in jail cannot file a habeas corpus. You can. In this case, it's a double whammy because Jerry's disabled. He's got no way to know.
And she claimed that he wasn't sufficiently disabled. But how would he, I guess she did this based on her personal knowledge. Morris, I know, is a dishonest judge. Her bailiff lied about receiving papers in my case 5 years ago when I was held, she held me in court for 2 days, in jail for 2 days solitary on a contempt charge when a higher court had ordered her to stay that process. She claimed she had not received the order, but I know she did because I delivered it to the bailiff.
I believe the basis for the ruling is so that the district attorney can now bring charges for me practicing law without a license. I will appeal that ruling because the Sixth needs to give these people guidance in a lot of areas, not the least of which is the excessive bail.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a hearing at 1:30, I guess the special arraignment. What is this, her desire to split the difference in some way, to move up the arraignment by 1 day?
No, he normally would have been arraigned today. It's the DA's object to try to get it, as you notice, put on for tomorrow. They were going to try to punish him as long as they could without legal access to the court. This is all bullshit. It's all bullshit. But I will appeal the decision. I'll file the notice sometime later this week. It's an absurd decision.
You expect some kind of justice from the higher courts?
No. I expect them to let me go talk to Ron George. I'll get it there, yeah. Ron George will take care of it. The federal court wouldn't put up with this for a minute. It's insane. I got standing to walk into federal court and get it, I guarantee you. And I won't waste my time with these idiots again.
Well, that sounds... So in other words, had you filed this writ of habeas corpus in federal court, of course it would have required going to San Jose, and I don't know how you could have gotten access to the judge. I guess you would have just walked... How would you have done that?
Same way I did here. Walk in and file it.
And would they have acted quickly, you think?
Find out when it happens again, because it'll happen again. Right now, they've taken away Mr. Henry's... it's Article 1, Section... What the hell did I do with my paperwork?
His right to be free from excessive bail.
No.
No?
Now, Article 1, Section 13, the right of the people to be secure in their persons against unreasonable seizures may not be violated.
Right.
Now, this has proven to Mr. Henry that he can be seized and unreasonably held for over 90 hours. It'll be 90 hours at noon today. And so that security against unlawful seizure, unreasonable seizure, and unreasonable bail is not an expectation that Mr. Henry any longer has, nor do I. And I will be moving back in by writ of habeas corpus or declaratory relief one to establish how this scheme that they've employed against Mr. Henry fits into that requirement of the Constitution that we be secure in our persons against unreasonable seizures and bail.
Or clashes with it.
Pardon?
Or clashes with it.
Well, it's their job to reconcile these disparities, you know, not to sell them.
Right. Well, that's what they do, though, and they make good money doing that.
Well, I assume they get paid a lot. We'll find out as we get on up. But, yeah, that one will go up. I should have filed a writ with the Sixth. That's the one thing that I learned from this, is that this original bail amount was set by the Superior Court. The appeal, the habeas corpus should have gone to the Sixth.
That's the federal court?
No, the Sixth Appellate Court, California.
Mm-hmm.
I should have filed the habeas corpus there because they would have ruled on it up or down yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, next time. Thank you, Richard.
Well, it's a learning experience. The lawyers don't do this, and the judges never see it, and it's up to the citizens to find out how these things work, and you learn one thing at a time, and then you move to the next one. You have that when you go in so that you're prepared for the next one after that. It's just a process, learning process. They make it very difficult. They're not honorable people. It's unfortunate, but they're not.
Thank you.
If you'll marry me, I'll give you everything I have. You won't ever need to earn a penny. I will be your man, and the ring upon your hand will show the world that you're my darling Annie.
Thank you, love, I'll be glad. glad to add your wages onto mine. I can work and keep myself so handy. You can be my man without a golden wedding band, and I'll tell the world that I'm your Annie.
For it's love, love will hold us, love is everything. Who could dream of anything that's better? Not the bow, not the string, not the golden wedding ring. Just you, love you and me together. If you'll marry me, I will give to you my name. It will shield you from idle talk and envy. For when you play the game, you're secure from any blame. Not ashamed to be my darling Annie.
Thank you, love, I'm grateful for the offer of your name. But my own will do as well as any. I don't like the game and the rules wouldn't make me change. Not the same girl you married, not your Annie.
For it's love, love will hold us, love is everything. Who could dream of anything that's better? Not the bow, not the string, not the golden wedding ring. Just you, love you and me together. If you'll marry me, we'll get a house and settle down. A place to call our own so neat and canny. With a family and a home, love, you'll never feel alone. Left on the shelf, a spinster, darling Annie.
Dearest love, we could surely find a place to call our own. All we need is some influence and money. But I don't need a ring or a house or anything to become a mother or a granny.
For it's love, love will hold us, love is everything. Who could dream of anything that's better? Not the bow, not the string, not the golden wedding ring. Just to love you and me together.
If you'll marry me, I will be faithful unto death. You will have all my love and my attention. We will care, we will share life in sickness and in health. And when I die, you can draw the widow's pension.
I will live with you and I'll be faithful unto death. We will share all the burdens we must carry. We'll always be free, me for you and you for me. But when we're old, maybe we should marry.
For it's love, love will hold us, love is everything. Who could dream of anything that's better? Not the bow, not the string, not the golden wedding ring. Just you, love you and me together.
And that was Darling Annie from Ewan McCall and Peggy Seeger's famous kick-ass album of 25 years ago, just for all you old-timers. And speaking of old-timers, on the phone, we have with us that man about the law courts, Richard Still at Liberty Quigley. Hey, Richard.
How you doing this morning?
And, Richard, we were listening to a little of an interview with you from about 3 weeks ago, right before the hearing that freed Jerry Henry last time when he was being held on $100,000 bail for a series of capital crimes. I'm not quite sure what we call them. And I guess I learned from you last Friday night that this whole drama apparently is being repeated yet again. I guess it happens the first time as tragedy and the second time as farce, right?
I don't know how you'd label it, but it's sure irritating and disturbing. I mean, this is the first time in my career in this community about dealing with these idiots that they've managed to make me nervous about what they're doing. I actually had a wave of anxiety sweep through me on Friday when they cuffed Mr. Henry off and took him to jail on $100,000 bail again.
Now, you actually didn't see this happen, but you heard about it later? Or?
I arrived within moments from the time they took him away. I was there in plenty of time to keep his car from being towed if the sheriff's department had not been determined to do that, and I was there in plenty of time to keep his dog from going to the pound if the sheriff's department had not been determined to do that. So
both his car and his dog, in spite of the fact that you were there willing to take them into custody, were taken by the sheriff's department?
Yeah, the sergeant said that the car was being impounded and the dog was being taken to the dog pound incident to the arrest. I'm at a loss to understand what that means, but he wasn't in the car when they arrested him. He wasn't even exiting the car when they arrested him. They swooped on the car before they swooped on him. They had a warrant.
Were there any witnesses to this whole thing?
Oh, yeah. There were several people there, and people who were totally prepared to take the car and the dog.
So you have their names and numbers for a subsequent lawsuit, we hope?
God, I'll tell you, man, the thing of it is these guys have got this thing so bad that it's going to take a monster law firm to come in and devote the kind of energy and money that it's going to take to do just the discovery work on a civil action. But, yeah, we live in hopes that we're going to be able to find some attorneys to take this whole thing on a civil action, just sue the bejesus out of these fascists.
So as I understand it, Mr. Henry, or Jerry, was taken into custody on a warrant issued by our favorite judge, I call her Mockingbird, Mockery Morse, Heather Morse, issued that same day on Friday, 2 days ago?
Yeah, there's a time when I would have probably contested any ridicule of that woman from anybody, but I have seen behavior from her of late that supports the opinion you've held for quite some time. And so I'm, yeah, as a matter of fact, Heather Morris signed a $100,000 warrant for Jerry Henry's arrest.
Now, there will have been an affidavit attached to this warrant indicating why that should happen, or was it, do we know where this came from? I understand he was at liberty on his own recognizance, right?
Well, that was, at liberty is precisely the wrong words to use, because I hardly think you could call it at liberty. What they did was is that they OR'd him, released him on his own recognizance.
Without bail, that is.
They offered him his choice between two gross violations of his constitutional rights. He could either remain in jail at an outrageous bail of $100,000, which is 200 times what the allegations call for, or he could be released without any, you know, coming up with any money. If he agreed to a stay-away order from the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. And so, you know, jail's not exactly the most entertaining and comfortable place to be, and he opted to take the restriction to fight another day.
We've already pointed out that Kate Wells has spoken about, Attorney Kate Wells, that he's a disabled individual who, under conditions of stress, it causes particular hardship for him.
Oh, yeah. No, What they are doing is nothing short of hate crime, and it is based on his disability, and it is not only obscene to, you know, to anybody that would look at it, but it's also a perversion of law. I mean, they're just abusing the process up one side and down the other to torture this guy.
Now, go ahead.
Taking the car and taking the dog, the car is going to cost just shy of $300 to get out of the impound yard today if they can get it. The dog cost over $60 to get out of the pound yesterday, and I gotta give special kudos to a young feller by the name of Jeff Hickey. They went down there early to get the dog out of the pound, and the pound was going to refuse them. Here's this poor animal. She's never been separated from Jerry, never been in an environment like that in her life, and the crying that she was doing was described to me in a way that just, you know, my dog had this pup. I've known that pup since she was born, and she was really going through hell. It was rough on her. Anyway, Hickey couldn't take the fact that they weren't going to release the dog, so I guess he went back down there and for lack of a better description, chained himself to the gate to her cell and refused to leave. He was going to stay there with her and at least keep her company if they were going to keep her prisoner. They threatened to arrest him, and he told them to get it on, you know. That's what they wanted to do to torture this animal, was to throw him in jail to allow it to go ahead. Cooler heads prevailed, and they allowed him to go to the jail and get Jerry Henry to sign permission for him to free the dog, charged him the $60, and allowed her freedom yesterday. So she got liberated about 4:35 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Do we know the name of the sergeant or deputies who masterminded this dog napping and car theft?
You know, I'm sorry. It occurs to me that it's more, but I don't know. I don't know this guy. I'd never seen him before. When I walked up and asked him what was going on, his response was, "Do I have to answer your question?" My response was, "No, you can be as rude as you want to be." You know, I don't know why you want to be rude, but yeah, you know, you want to be rude, be rude. There's nothing I can do about it. You got the gun and the badge. And he was not the least bit interested in talking about leasing the car to anybody except the impound yard. They were going to use this as a punitive device against Mr. Henry.
Now, when you were on the scene on Friday, I guess, where did this arrest take place? It didn't take place at Rancho Del Mar, right? It took place across the street because Henry has been following the restraining order or the probation condition.
Oh, yeah, to the letter.
Let's say the OR condition.
Yeah, to the letter. He's never, ever, not one time, ever defied any sort of a court order or stipulation or anything, as unjust and unfair as they are. He is, by all standards, an honorable man and does exactly the right thing. They don't make the lines very clear, so he will stand to the line from time to time, but he never crosses it. Actually, on this day, they had the condition of the OR was stay away from the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, but they did allow him what we call, for lack of a better description, the nigger route. He is allowed to go in at the far end of the shopping center from Gottschalk's and go to and from Safeway, because Safeway apparently put their foot down and would not allow themselves to be part of this banishment. Hats off to the old corporate jerks that they are.
Right, brief interruption here. I want you to continue and not lose your thought, but you said the nigger route, and I want to point out for those listeners who may be offended by your use of that term, that is a term that is used to describe second-class citizenship that was foisted upon many African-Americans, I would say all African-Americans, really, and still is to a large extent in terms of many different employment and accommodation provisions in our society.
Yeah, a lot of people think that it's got an ethnic implication, and sure, it can be taken that way, but it is used, when I use the word, I think of it in terms of status, and that is a common usage. You know, people refer to being niggered, and that's not being, you know, taken in as somehow or other surgically made black or something. It means being treated as a less than first class.
It is also how some African Americans, and often they reserve the right to use this kind of self-description in some circumstances, as, you know, as something that they themselves have the right to use, because white folks mostly don't have the same experience as black folks in this regard.
Well, as I understand the use in not being black, I can only go by what an outsider might know, a relative outsider, but hell, man, even as a term of endearment, for God's sake. I mean, this is not a single-dimensional word that only has one meaning, and it's always negative and spiteful.
I want to also point out that Jerry Henry, was one of the crimes that they took him to jail for in a previous arrest was when he was calling himself a nigger and saying, you know, this nigger's tired of being at the back of the bus, in an attempt to allow passerbys and the management of certain of the stores out there that have barred him, that it was time just to lift these prohibitions.
Well, sure.
And I also want to point out that I used the phrase niggers of the 90s to describe homeless people. I said homeless people in many respects are the niggers of the 90s.
No question.
People treated as second-class citizens, people treated as less worth less than dirt.
Yeah.
And I talked to an African-American activist, a black activist. He was initially rather angry with me for using it. He spoke to me last week and he said, "You know, Robert, you're right." And so I was really pleased to hear him say that it is, he now understands, he agrees with me, it's an appropriate usage. Continue, though. You're saying that this, again, we're talking about the rearrest of Jerry Henry. We're talking to activist, ordinary human being, Richard Quigley, who I regard as an activist in this situation, certainly, who's challenging fundamental injustice to a close friend, Jerry Henry, for now being held on a $100,000 bail in the Santa Cruz County Jail in a warrant issued by Heather Morris, a last Friday, last time the warrant was issued by Yonce, but Morse colluded in denying a writ of habeas corpus or even a hearing for a writ of habeas corpus. At that time, by the way, you said that you thought that Morse, that they were going to come after you for practicing law without a license.
Well, that was a veiled threat that was laid on me by one of the guys in the DA's office, Jim Jackson. I believe it was Jackson said something to me about that. I filed a habeas corpus on Jerry's behalf.
And anybody can file a writ of habeas corpus. I've seen it done before.
Well, it's my contention, and you know, if I'd had time to appeal that decision, I have so many other irons in the fire. I didn't, but if it ever becomes an issue, I believe that on appeal in the higher courts, they will rule that not only does habeas corpus take any form you want it to take, but anybody can file it on anybody. I mean, as long as it's not frivolous. As long as you have an interest, you have a personal friendship or relationship, and know the person and understand the injustice. It's available to you.
Well, I know that it was done, ironically, in a case where Heather Morris jailed homeless activist Red Top Robert Flory about 5 years ago because he refused to pay an infraction fine. And she did this, she jailed him without a hearing, without an attorney. And his friend, Wanton Dave Jacobs, no lawyer as far as having a law degree, but certainly a man who knows law and uses the law library, he filed a writ of habeas corpus, which successfully released Flory because he hadn't been provided with a lawyer and he hadn't been provided with a hearing. And Morse was forced to some extent to face the consequences of her illegal actions, although, of course, judges are immune, and we all know that. But you're getting back to this case, Jeff Hickey was one of the witnesses to the arrest of Jerry Henry. Have you spoken with the witnesses to this rearrest?
Oh yeah.
And what was he doing? Was he breaking windows, urinating on the merchants?
No. The arrest was for the information that I've been able to get through this morning. It came in as recent as this morning. Somebody who has access to the computers down there that deal with, you know, that hold these cases and so on. Apparently, he was scheduled for a hearing on Friday morning. Now, nobody knows in which court, and nobody knows on what, because all of his hearings, he's got a public defender. We have no idea what this is about. But there is the warrant was issued on the basis that he had failed to appear at some hearing that they say he was supposed to be at, which is something that's not known to him or me or anybody that knows him. I haven't talked to his public defender.
Who is his public defender?
Susan Jakubowski.
Oh, my favorite.
And anyway, I mean, she had to be down there. I can't imagine that they would have called this case and she'd not been able to respond.
Jakubowski has your phone number, does she not?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You received no phone call from public defender Susan Jakubowski?
Well, in fact, Jerry talked to her on Friday because he said he pushed her to set a hearing on Tuesday, day after tomorrow, to have the unfair restrictions lifted from the OR.
This is before Jerry was picked up on this warrant.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, there's some speculation in his mind anyway that because he asked for a modification of that restriction, that it may have well been a vendetta thing. I don't know. I do know that the $100,000 bail that they imposed again is again outrageous. I mean, it on its face violates the Constitution about excessive bails shall not be imposed. I mean, these people act like, oh, there's their new expression. It's not workable. The district attorney recently, in a situation where you're supposed to be taken to a magistrate, was faced with forcing the fact that they didn't do this with somebody. And Kate Wells has got that case, and she was reporting to me that she's got a brief where the district attorney's office actually said that this whole process of law that requires that they take you to a magistrate upon demand, that it's not workable.
And that's their defense.
It's just
for
inconvenient. Oh yeah, he's standing there in front of Judge Danner. God, I have a hard time saying that. In Danner's court, and he's arguing to Danner, you know, with your already busy schedule, can you imagine, you know, this whole thing's just not workable. I mean, sorry, but that's the law. Of course, I just started laughing because I know from this day forward, I'm going to get a copy of the briefs, and I hope to get a copy of the transcript, because I don't care what the state accuses me of from now on. Compliance with the law is just not workable.
You're talking, of course, about another case where attorney and marijuana hunter Paul Maraganda, who's notorious to me because he went after people for serving soup both as a public prosecutor here in Santa Cruz and as a private attorney up in San Francisco when Food Not Bombs was under attack in 1988. This Maragonda came into court, and I guess I'm going to get Kate Wells to talk about this live on the air after we talk to you, Richard.
Okay.
And also we're going to play a bit of some other cases involving the issue of take me to a magistrate, which we've discussed a little bit, which is the right of a person who is charged with an infraction or a minor crime to be taken directly to a magistrate to be told the probable cause.
Yeah.
And what's
going on. Specifically not to be searched as if you were being arrested for a misdemeanor. Specifically not to be booked. I mean, the law on it is real clear. And, of course, they have absolutely no provisions in this county to comply with that requirement of law at all. And I guess Mayor Grande finds it unworkable.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I find having to maintain liability insurance as a condition to using the roadways unworkable. I find, we could start today and never end with what we find unworkable.
But let's go back to the case of the man who today is sitting behind bars in Santa Cruz County Jail for apparently the crime of having an incompetent public defender.
Well, we can't really nail it down, but the charge on the warrant is failure to appear. It doesn't explain the $100,000 bail, and it particularly doesn't explain why his car and dog were taken.
Has anyone tried to reach Susan Jakubowski at home?
No, I don't think anybody knows how to get hold of her at home.
Well, I will try to do a little calling around, because I think that if one of her clients is in jail on $100,000 bail, whether it's because of her negligence or because of some fast shenanigans by the district attorney's office or by the judges or by the sheriffs that she should have known about, or maybe even what happened behind her back, certainly she would take an interest in her client going to jail, and maybe she can get together a pencil and paper and get a writ of habeas corpus out there.
Well, or get a hold of the judge. You know, they seem to be able to get a hold of these judges at home like they did with the first time they arrested Henry to get that first $100,000 bail. They got a hold of Jantz at his house at night, you know. After the second martini, $100,000 probably starts to sound pretty good, or the seventh or eighth martini. I don't know how damn drunk he got to be.
Jantz was approached by Becky Johnson of the at the Homeless Services Center, where Jantz was on the board of directors, and at a meeting, Becky asked Jantz, what is it with this $100,000 bail thing? And Jantz said, oh, well, you know, it was explained to me that, you know, it was needed. And she said, what if I were to show you that all this information were false? He said, oh, no, that's okay. I trust my sources.